And I don't even feel like doing the intro for the like fifth time. I've tried to record the first part quite a few times, but the audio just won't record. I think it's fixed now, hopefully. But you know, the general gist of the intro was like a big hello and, you know, welcome to the Dankest podcast in the school. There was some joke about we being superior to 90% of the Chilean population, but it doesn't really matter anymore because I'm now tired. However, I will get on with the project, as this is the final thing I need to record, which is chronologically in the podcast the first thing. I'm reading a novel, a manga, known as JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It is separated in parts, and it's about the Joestar bloodline. So each part has a different protagonist, but they're all connected by blood relatives. And it's pretty much their fight against evil. Each part is very distinct to the other. However, I would say if I were to summarize them, all of them, it would take quite a long time. So I'm not sure what to actually do. I think I'll just summarize. I'll try to quickly summarize part 1 through to part 6, because part 7 and part 8 take place in a separate universe that has nothing to do with part 1 through part 6. Although they are similar, they don't have any correlation to each other. So part 1, Jonathan Joestar fights against his adopted brother, Diobrando, who turns into a vampire. Jonathan has like weird martial arts power that is able to defeat vampires, and he defeats Dio at first, but Dio survives. Well, his head does. He cuts his head off to not die from the special martial arts. Then he goes on a honeymoon with his wife Arena, and in the ship, Dio appears, gravely injures Jonathan, and then Jonathan stops the engine of the steam-powered ship, building up a bunch of pressure, making the ship explode. However, Arena survives with a baby that she randomly found. She was also pregnant. Then there's part 2, the Joseph Joestar, who's the grandchild of Jonathan. He also has these secret martial arts that are capable of killing vampires, and he meets the Pillar Men, which is like a superior version of the vampires. They created the vampires. He goes against them. He has a friend, a pretty close friend. He dies. This motivates him to stop them. And the Pillar Men look to become the ultimate life form, as they cannot step into the sunlight. But becoming the ultimate life form would allow them to. So, you know, they are eventually defeated. Again, this is very quick and really not very in-depth summary of the different parts. Then we got to part 3, Jotaro. But I do need to explain this. There's a new ability known as Stance, which is pretty much the spiritual, the manifestation of the fighting spirit. So you should imagine them as like ghosts that come out of you, and you can control, and other people who have these ghosts can also see your ghost. These are called stands. Each of them have like a different shape, pretty much different designs and different abilities. This makes the battles way more strategic, as the stand users are still human, So any good hit would just like knock them out or kill them straight out. So they can't attack recklessly. They need to use tactics to win fights. And you know, stuff like knowing your opponent's ability is a huge, huge advantage over the fight. So it makes fights way more strategic and way more fun. Pretty much, so the plot of part 3, Dio's back. His head is planted on the body of Jonathan, and Jotaro goes to Egypt to kill him, pretty much, to stop him, because if it doesn't, his mother will die. He makes some friends, they mostly, most of them pretty much die. And he ends up defeating Dio. Then part 4, in a town called Morio, with Josuke, Higachikata, which is the bastard son, I guess, Joseph, who had an affair with a Japanese woman. In Morio, there's a bunch of stand users. They all seem like human, so they have like their little fights, but they don't like kill them outright because they're not really evil. They all have their own agendas. So none of them are like straight up evil and deserve to die. However, after a while, they introduce Akira, which is the main villain, who is a serial killer with a fetish of hands. He kills women and cuts off their hands and then goes on dates with them. Eventually, they are able to stop him and Kira dies. Pretty much. Then we move on to part 5, which is Giorno Giovanna, which is the son of Dio, who he had while he was on with Jonathan's body, which makes him connected to the Joestar bloodline. He pretty much becomes like the mafia boss of Italy after defeating the old mafia boss of Italy, and tries to clean the streets of people selling drugs to children, pretty much. So he cleans the streets as the mafia boss of Italy. Then part 6, Jolene, the daughter of Jotaro, gets accused and falsely, and gets thrown into prison by Pucci, which was an old friend of Dio's. This leads to Jotaro coming to rescue her, and Jotaro losing his stand and his memory, pretty much leaving him at a dead state. Jolene eventually gets both his stand and his memories back, and Jotaro is back alive. And then they try to stop Pucci, but they kind of fail as he restarts the universe. But then he does die, which makes the universe restart again. But now, as a consequence, no one has special powers, and it's just a normal world. And that's the end of part 6. And then they change to part 7 through part 8. I'm not gonna summarize those because those are apart from the main part 1 through part 6. That was a quick, as quickly as I could, the summary. And the reason I chose this manga was because I was already reading it from before. I was very going at a quite slow pace because of all the stuff, and I already knew I liked it, so I knew that if I made it like part of the school job, I knew I was going to advance, and probably quite quickly. I didn't advance as quickly as I thought I would, but I advanced pretty quickly. So that's pretty much why I chose it, because I knew I liked the story already, and that I would feel motivated to finish it instead of reading some random book that I probably wouldn't have finished. So that's finally the intro. Hopefully this time the audio records and it's not bad, but if it does, then I'll finally be done with the podcast. Hooray me. Okay, this is This is figurative languages part. So I'll go through the two examples of it that I have here. First of all, in part 6, volume 17, page 84, a hyperbole can be found. A hyperbole is something that is not meant... Sorry, there is an exaggeration of something. Something so, like, outrageous that it can be, like, real. The hyperbole in this is a description of the power known as Made in Heaven. To increase the speed of time, no living organism is able to keep up. The only one who can move freely within it is Pushy, the stand user, and essentially God himself. Now this is hyperbole, because while Pushy himself can, in fact, move within his own ability, saying that essentially only God himself is able to move through this, pretty much says this is God's ability. Yet, it was actually quite easily defeated by another stand, which was able to also move freely within it because of the way the power worked. See, the power was weather control. He could control the weather. And because Made in Heaven could speed up time, it only made the weather control stronger, you see. And actually made, pretty much was the cause for Pucci's defeat there. That's why it's a hyperbole, because saying only God himself is able to move within this accelerated time. Yet we have been shown an example where Pucci was defeated by another stand that was definitely not God. In fact, it was actually a kid who defeated him. Then we have another example in part 6, from volume 12 to volume 13. There's various examples of the same like thing, which is personification. Personification is when an animal or an object is given a human characteristic or does some like human actions. This is seen in the ability known as Bohemian Rhapsody. Again, many of the powers and things in JoJo's are references to music. This pretty much makes the fantasy characters come back to life, come to actually real life. So we see Pinocchio, which is an example for personification. Since Pinocchio was just like a doll that became human, we'll see some sheep who is able to use scissors and speak like humans. I'm not sure from which fairy tale they are from, but it's definitely an example of personification, as they are able to speak and use human tools, which normal sheep wouldn't be able to. So, oh, this is a bit short. Well, those are my two examples, pretty much, of it. The personification and the hyperbole. That's about it for this part. Hello again, and welcome to the description of three different characters. First, I will do the description of all of this will be protagonists from different parts. I'll do the parts from part 1, part 2, and part 3. Part 1, let's start with him, Jonathan. Jonathan is let's go through the steel. First of all, his speech. He was raised to be a gentleman, so his way of speaking is very what you would call like formal, I guess, and like headstrong. The way he speaks, you don't think he's like the smartest person, but he definitely is like very, very someone who you could like place your trust in, just by like his, the way he speaks to stuff, the way he says, you know, to others, talks about honor and being a gentleman, you know, all the things that when he says that, you can truly believe that, like, he believes himself, all the things about honor and being a gentleman, which is how he was raised. Then his looks, he's a very, very, very big guy with like huge muscles. Okay, he's very strong. He's also like, he has blue hair, at least in the anime he does. In the manga, not really, he has like brown hair, but the author has stated that he doesn't really like putting like definite colors on characters. He would like to put colors depending on their emotion. So in one scene his hair could be blue, and in another it could be red. Just some bizarre things about JoJo's. So he has a very big build, very muscular. So he's very strong just by looking at him. His actions are valiant. He faces problems head on, and faces evil and injustice wherever he finds it. He doesn't run away. He stands by his word and his code of honor. His actions, like, double up what he says. He says all the stuff under honor, and his actions prove that he actually means it. Then we have his effects on others. Being such a valiant and gentleman, he actually makes quite a lot of friends, and he's actually very like respected. That's it. He's very respected for the way he lives his life. He gains friends for the way he faces problems. He got assaulted in the alleyways, and he, even though he could have like really beat up everyone, he left them relatively untouched. And even though they were fighting, they outnumbered him, he still fought with honor, and he didn't run away or anything. You know, this proves that he, and because of this, he has a certain effect on us of like respect. They respect him. Dio Brando, the main villain. Dio is a very selfish guy, and he sees himself as superior. But the only person he saw himself as an equal to was Jonathan. Actually, he Dio says that in the first part, volume 9, I believe. Sorry. I have it right here. Volume 9. It's the fifth chapter of volume 9, but I don't have the exact page. That's pretty much Jonathan. Then we move on to Joseph. Let's see, his speech, he's very wacky, very like off. He doesn't speak like a gentleman. he insults and he plays games with people, pretty much. That's his speech, and he's always being like a jokester. You know, this pretty much is, you know, he's hiding. It's like a persona, really. His effects on others are simply that. Many times he infuriates people, but when he meets real friends, they stand by him till the bitter end. Actually, his actions are pretty much. He acts like a coward and speaks like one, but his actions of fighting for good, for justice, proves that he's actually a very good person, and he just uses these tricks to fool people. His looks, he's actually very similar looking to Jonathan, very like ripped and powerful, but you can definitely tell that he's much more like stylish dressed than Jonathan. This also marks like a change in the way battles were written. As Jonathan faced his battles head on, Joseph tricked his enemies into traps to pretty much secure victory. Then we move on to Jotaro, he looks like a delinquent straight off the bat. He speaks badly to his mother, he swears to his mother, and he's like pretty much all around represented to be just a hard delinquent. However, his actions are very different to that. He actually cares. His actions are of protective nature. He sees that his mother is looking like a little bit pale that day, and asks if she's doing okay. Which, by the introduction of him, he was swearing at her, you wouldn't think that would be the case, but he actually cares. It's his own like twisted way of caring for people. So his effects on others is he's hard to understand and hard to make friends with. However, if he does make friends with them, they trust him to. They just trust his sole opinion. He actually becomes a very good leader of the group that goes to Egypt to defeat Dion. But it's very hard to know exactly what he's thinking because he's so quiet. Again, for most of these characters, their actual thoughts, we can't really see inside their brain a lot. But let's see. Oh, some evidence of this was again what I just mentioned. Jotaro asking her mother if she was okay while she was looking a bit pale. This happened in part 3, volume. I have it here somewhere. Volume. Volume 1. It's like the 8th chapter of it. But it's not actually chapter 8, because it the chapters just continue on. So it'll be like the 8th chapter of volume 1 from part 3. But it's actually a way higher number, because it also counts the chapters from the past parts. But I have it written down as the chapter 8 of the volume, of the first volume of the part 3. Where he says that, and it shows that he cares for her. And in Joseph's case, it's mostly there's not really any real conversation with him. Shows his very jokey manner. So the entire part two could be that. Really marks like a change in writing style, as Jonathan was this very like typical archetypical hero. Then Joseph was like a trickster, and then Jotaro was a serious tough guy, but that uses like the trickster like tactics of part two mixed with the like cool silent type, I guess you could say, from like part one. Okay, so this is about the theme. The major theme in the novel, well, the manga in this case, I believe that the major theme pretty much underlying all of the parts would be that takes great sacrifice to protect the innocent. There's not really a text evidence of this. It's mostly like the story as it unfolds, I guess. So let's go through it. Part one, for example, Jonathan must sacrifice. He sacrificed himself to save a random child and Erina, alongside with a bunch of people, by killing himself to try and kill Dio. Even though he tragically fails, it was still a sacrifice to try to protect the innocent, and it actually protected them for quite a while, like some 80 years before Dio was able to like race again, I think. You can see this evidence everywhere. In part 3, Jotaro goes on an adventure to protect the innocent people who would be affected by Dio, and also his mother, which is completely innocent in this. He goes to protect her, and in the end he loses his friends that are very close to him. Those are the sacrifices that must be made to protect those who are innocent. Now, then we have stuff like let's see, in part 5 again, Bruno, one of the main members of the main cast, kills himself in order to help Giorno get the power he needed to defeat Diabolo, which is the main villain of part 5, to be able to become the mafia boss and take the drugs off the street, the drug dealers who sell to children off the streets. Stuff like that. There's not like textual things, it's more like actions. Because it's a manga and it's a bunch of images, with text, of course, quite a lot of text actually. It just shows through action. So big examples would be, I believe, part 1, part 3, and part 5, as big sacrifices to protect those who are innocent. Then why is this important to the novel? I think it's very important to the novel because it's pretty much the underlying theme, besides the Joestar bloodline, through all of this. That the Joestars are destined to destiny to protect the innocent at any cost. A lot of the Joestars' lives are quickly ended or ruined because of their destiny. However, they take it upon themselves. They don't fight against destiny. They try to fulfill their own destiny of stopping the bad guys, I guess, and protecting the innocent at any cost. This makes them actually very strong, and it's I would say quite inspiring to see something like that, where instead of it being like a tragic, oh, I cannot escape my destiny, it's more of a, I will take my destiny and I will accept it. I will protect the innocent, even if it costs me my sanity or my life, which really happens to a lot of them. Yeah, that's pretty much the major theme, to protect the innocent. Great sacrifices are required. Hopefully that's not like some kind of cliche or something like that. But I don't think I've really heard that. So that's my major theme. Hello, and welcome to the interview part of this. I've just realized that I'm probably gonna start every part with hello, because I am not recording them in order. But anyway, this is the interview. I am here. This is, again, the best podcast in a 1 meter radius of where it's being recorded, which is my room. Here today, we have as the interviewee, the interviewed person, my brother. Who is watching the anime JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, but has not read the manga. So let's start with the first question. Do you like JoJo?
Yes, I like JoJo because it's a very good anime and the fights are cool.
Okay, very nice, very nice. Let's see. Here in my notes, I wrote like a lot of questions. I don't think we'll be able to get through all of them. Next question is, would you consider reading the manga? Which I could actually like give you, I could like download it on your computer. Would you like reading it?
Yes, because I know that in the manga some characters are more detailed and it is on. It has more episodes than in the anime, because in the anime it's in part 5 and the manga is like part 8.
Yeah, so as Oscar mentioned, in the anime they are currently animating the part 5, and it's like a weekly episodic thing, while the manga is on part 8 and well, still going. So I didn't like actually finish it, but you know, until where it is now. Next question is, what is the most important event so far in the story for you?
The part where they are in Egypt and are searching for Dio, but then they they meet bad guys and they kick their ass.
So you would say that you like the fights in JoJo?
Yes.
Especially like the powers?
Yes.
You see, one of another question I have is, since you mentioned it, that you like the powers, what is it that you like so much about these powers?
That they are very unique, like, and some are also like similar, but they still have differences. Like, some stands are very different in how they look and in powers, but they also have some similar moves.
Okay, so to add a little bit more context to this, what Oscar is mainly talking about is the stands, which is the power system from part 3 till part 8. And going. Before that, in the anime in the manga world, there was nothing like what Araki, the author, made there, because before that you had like stuff like Dragon Ball and Fists of the North Star, which was pretty much like train, get stronger. Oh, look, I am stronger than you. I punch harder, so I win. But JoJo's, since everybody has like special powers that do specific things, and like their stance can be like more powerful and more durable than a human. However, the user is still just human. So if he gets attacked by pretty much any stand, he's done for. This makes the battles much more strategic, as one slip up could mean the end of the battle, even if your stand might be like considered superior in like stats. Now we have reached the 5 minute mark, so to wrap this up, and hopefully this time the audio will actually record, because this is our second attempt. What do you think? Let's see, what question could I ask? Yeah, just talk about your favorite character.
My favorite character, like human character, is Jotaro, because his stand is very cool and very powerful, and also Jotaro is also very cool and very smart.
Yeah, okay, so Jotaro is the protagonist of part 3, and I might have mentioned this again. This is, I'm not recording this in order, so it's very sporadic. But he is based, like, loosely or around, like, Clint Eastwood and his movies. So, like, the stoic cowboy type that's, like, silent and takes no nonsense from anybody, you know, not to say another bad word that means poop. So that's about it for the interview. I would like to thank the host. Me, I guess. I would like to thank myself for doing this, and I would also like to thank my brother. So to leave off, Oscar, do you have any final thoughts?
Why do you say thank the host if you are already the host?
Are those your final thoughts?
Oh, also JoJo is very cool.
Okay, so we will completely ignore his first question, because it was not a brain sleep. There was no brain fart involved. It was just my brilliant mind. So thank you very much again, Oscar, for participating. Hopefully this records this time, the audio. It was very weird last time. And yeah, that's how the news goes, or something like that. Give a like if you understand the reference. Okay then, this is the chronologically the final part in the podcast, which would be the reflection of the unit as a whole, my honest opinions about it. To be honest with you, I very much enjoyed this activity, because we were given the choice to pick the book. While we were kind of supposed to pick it when we were in United States, I really didn't do that, because I kind of took all the like responsibility stuff aside, just to like enjoy the experience of being in America. But I really like that we were able to choose it, and I actually really like Miss. I'm very glad that you allowed me to be able to read a manga that was in English, of course. It had a lot of words, so don't worry about that. It was actually very long and quite a few interesting concepts in it. But the reality is that if I were to read something like a book, I probably wouldn't have finished it, because I don't really like reading books. I just find them boring. But I really like reading stuff like comics, and mangas are just like Japanese comics. So the fact that you allowed me to read them is actually really good, because or else I probably wouldn't have finished by now. The work at home on the project, the podcast, well, quite infuriating. I have recorded the summary of the novel pretty much 3 times now, and I have to do it a 4th time, but I'm just doing the other parts first because the audio just didn't record. Hopefully this audio records actually. The activities done in class about the book, right, the guide, the vocabulary, that was fine. The vocabulary was fine. The little like jobs, being able to do, need to only do like 3 of them after out of like 6, gives you a lot of options to do the ones you want. So I really like that too. You know, it's not too many, and the options make it that you can choose the ones that you like the most, the ones that are easier for you. There was stuff like the reading at home, right? Reading at home. We went through the like different strategies. Because you said, to be honest, I kind of just ignore them and just read like I normally read. Although it is listening to music, I think that was like part of a strategy, but I just read normally because I was reading something that I actually wanted to read instead of some boring book that we were like told, read this or else you'll get a bad grade, something like that. This is more like choose the book you want to read and then try to get a good grade because you chose it. So you should actually like the book. Even though some were like a shot in the dark, you know. Ooh, I wonder if this, I'll like this book, and then you'll end up not liking it. But it's also pretty much why I chose this book, is because I've already read part of it, and I already knew that I liked it. And if I was like to make it part of a school activity, I know I would actually like read through it quite quickly. Actually, like took more time than I actually expected, but I still got there in the end and read everything. Unfortunately, I also forgot about the Flipgrids. So I guess I'll be honest, I didn't do them. The Flipgrid, I never even downloaded the app. I also forgot them. To be honest, not to like give any excuses or anything, but we were quite full of stuff. Even though I know that the first like 3 weeks, we weren't that full, so I could have done the Flipgrids then. But the first week, actually, I didn't know Flipgrids. The first 2 weeks, I didn't know Flipgrids existed. And then I just never did them. Which is a bit odd. I will say it's a bit odd to give us, like, the podcast. And also do the Flipgrids. Since they're quite similar, only the podcast I'm actually doing, and it's actually probably way more fun. I just enjoy just being able to record my voice instead of showing a video. I'm looking at the paper of the what we're supposed to put on the podcast, and I'm pretty sure that the Instagram is also similar to the activities we did with the Flipgrid. So I don't know why we really need to do both. Very much just prefer to leave the podcast on the Instagram as like the main activity. Maybe like make the due date on the actual date itself a little earlier, and instead of the time we would use on the Flipgrid, more classes to work on the podcast and the Instagram. Although we have enough class by the last class, I didn't really have much to do because all that was left was just to record the podcast. So those are pretty much my honest opinions. I like the activity very much. Didn't do the flip grids, and I know this is sounding a bit like an excuse, but I think that the flip grids and the podcast / Instagram are kind of like the same activities, just like with a different coat of paint on them, I guess you would say. Yeah, that's about those are my honest opinions. But very cool. Thank you for allowing me to choose a manga instead of like a classic book or novel.